What is up, and welcome back to another episode of the Wizards Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Finberg, and today's episode, we're going to be breaking down the Washington Wizards' loss to the Charlotte Hornets, 126 to 109 in Charlotte. It is the 23rd loss in 28 tries for the Wizards, who fall to 5-23. A lot to get to throughout this game. You got a lot of guys returning, some guys getting injured, and Kispert, who did return and actually played all right before he got injured. Carrington going down with an ankle injury. You had Bolonsaw return, and they played all right. Cam Whitmore is going to be out a while with some blood clot issues in his shoulder, which is quite not ideal and a pretty scary development. And so I'm going to talk about Cam, about some of the injuries tonight, and kind of my overall thoughts on some poor performances from McCollum and George, some good blocks from Saar, but not enough aggression. And the rotations. You better believe I have a lot to say about how Brian Keefe approached his rotations with some of his guys back tonight. So to start, I feel like I have to touch on Cam Whitmore real quick. If you missed it from earlier today, the news, which Shams Charania of ESPN reported and the Wizards confirmed with their own tweet, is that Cam Whitmore has been diagnosed with upper extremity deep vein thrombosis. He will be evaluated after missing the previous two games with what they called right shoulder soreness, and he's expected to be sidelined indefinitely. And Victor Wembanyama had the same thing. It's essentially, a blood clot, Shams said, in his shoulder, and which further testing revealed. And so, I believe right after the All-Star game, around February 20th, 21st of last year, Wemby was diagnosed with the exact same thing. Which caused him to miss the final 2 months of the season. They quickly ruled him out for the final 2 months of the season. And it's possible he could have missed more time. And so I believe the Wizards are going to be cautious in treating it. It's obviously a scary thing. I'm glad they caught it. Blood clots can be scary. But I would expect Whitmore to miss the next 2 months, probably. And maybe they'll revisit it at the All-Star break, maybe even later than that. But I'm sure they'll be cautious, and they won't let him play until he's fully back. So that's obviously not ideal. And Whitmore hadn't played since December 4th. He was benched by Brian Keefe for not meeting the team standards. Hadn't been a part of the rotation or played even a second, despite being healthy since then. The last two games taken out of that, he had still missed 5 to 6 games with being out of the rotation anyway. So. Definitely, an interesting development, and wishing Cam a speedy recovery because that's a pretty scary thing to be diagnosed with. So Cam's going to be out for the foreseeable future. The Wizard said he'd be out indefinitely. And with that, he was sort of the only guy, only player that wasn't a part of the roster tonight. They had been injured. I mean, there was, I think, eight guys out last game against San Antonio. Tonight it was just Whitmore. Brian Keefe had a full slate of healthy players, and that's what sort of made it interesting entering this game. Was kind of like, okay, with most of the guys back, like Corey Kispert, who had missed 10 games with a fractured thumb, he returned. Bilal Coulibaly had missed the last two with an ankle problem, an ankle sprain. He returned. Bagley had missed the last game with a calf injury. He returned. You have Saar back. You have Middleton back after a brief absence. You have sort of your full slate of players, and then you also got to kind of balance that with, like, well, you were playing Will Riley and Jameer Watkins a lot during these injuries, and they played really well. They sort of earned those minutes. And what I mentioned in the last spot is I'm kind of looking at, with Corey returning, Bilal back, and a bunch of guys coming back, are you going to take away the minutes from Jameer and Will, even though I feel like, and I think most fans feel like they earned those minutes? They did. They took those away. I don't know if Jameer played tonight for the Wizards. But I do know maybe he was on G League assignment because I don't even see Jameer listed as part of the team on ESPN. But I do know he wasn't on the injury report, but he's not listed on the roster for tonight's game against the Hornets. Will Riley was not a part of the rotation. He played just 2 minutes at the end of the game in garbage time. Tristan Vukcevic, who had played when Bagley and Saar were in, I thought he played all right. He was out of the rotation as well, played those garbage time minutes. Brian Keefe went like 11 deep in the first half. He started Middleton, George, Saar, McCollum, and Coulibaly. I know a lot of people were probably upset. Bob Carrington had started the last six games. He had played He had scored double figures in each of those games, had been playing his best basketball, shooting 43% from three. Really looked like he had found his stride, and that he had sort of earned his way back into the starting lineup. And then Bilal Coulibaly, who has not been having a good season, returns and he gets inserted into the starting lineup while Bub goes to the bench. Like, I understood that some fans might resent that move. I more so understood it because Bilal was the primary defender on the Melo Ball, who had a triple-double last time against the Wiz. So I don't think that was the worst decision by Keith. Sort of like, you can't really do much. Now, it's another thing to start CJ McCollum over Bub, but we also understand with the trade value and that kind of aspect of it, CJ and Chris are going to start if they're healthy. That's just going to happen. So definitely an interesting thing with the starting lineup, but I understand where Keith's coming from with Bilal for defense. But then he went with Bagley off the bench, who again, 15 points on 5 of 7 from the field. Again, thought he was really good. Had an emphatic poster dunk on Diabate earlier in the game. Some good footwork as well down low. Thought he was great. Kispert, who got injured, he left the game with hamstring tightness in the third quarter. Again, not ideal for a guy who had just come back from a 10-game absence. And we'll see how long that holds him out. He was quickly ruled out the rest of the game. So we'll see about that. And then you had Bob Carrington, who like tripped over his own feet on a when he was running back on defense in the fourth quarter, was kind of down in pain, got up a couple times but couldn't walk on the ankle and had to sort of be helped off the floor. That's not ideal. He'd been playing really good basketball. Corey had some good moments tonight too, so you never want to see injuries, specifically for Corey. He just came back from one, and Bob, who's playing his best basketball of the season. So not ideal. We'll see if they miss time. But off the bench, Keith went with Bagley, Kispert, Champagny, who played 19 minutes, and I thought he was just everywhere. 10 points, 9 boards, around the ball. Five of those rebounds were offensive. Thought he played a really good floor game. Three assists. That's Corey. But was really impactful with those five offensive rebounds. And then he also went with Bob, obviously, who got hurt, and Trey Johnson. So that's kind of like the 10 deep right there. And Trey was good too, plus 10. So it was impactful during his minutes. 12 points, 5 of 12 from the field, 2 of 7 from 3, not great. But realistically, thought he played one of his better games. His shot is so quick. His release is so pure. They actually ran a couple plays for him. Like, there was a pin down where he drained an elbow jumper. When he got the ball at the top of the key and he launched it, his shot looks really smooth. So I liked what I saw from Trey. But then there was the weird Malachi Branham minutes in the second quarter where he played like 4 to 5 minutes and then really didn't play the rest of the game. We've seen this from Keith throughout. Like, in the beginning of the season, he would play Tristan Vukcevic 4 or 5 minutes in the second quarter, and then he wouldn't play the rest of the game. He did it with Champagny before he made Champagny part of the rotation, and now he's sort of doing it with Branham. And it's like, if you're going to do that with anybody, then why is Branham playing over Will Riley? Like, Branham doesn't really give you much offensively. He's not the best defender. So how can you rationalize playing him over Will Riley? Again, it goes back to the minutes being earned and not given. Like, Will Riley played great in his minutes. He earned those minutes. He earned a stay in the rotation. And now you're bringing in Malachi Branham, who has not earned his minutes at all, let alone, Corey Kispert comes back from his injury, and you just say, hey, here's your spot back. We're going to take Will Riley out of the rotation. And I'm not saying I wouldn't have played Corey. I would have kept Corey in the rotation. And I understand it's difficult for Keith because you have so many guys that you want to play, and you have other guys that you sort of have to play, right? In McCollum and Middleton, which, by the way, CJ, 5 of 17 from the field tonight. I thought he was pretty bad, minus 17. I really didn't like his game at all. And then also, Keyshawn George, it was probably his worst game of the season. And, like, you can talk about the stats: 2 points, 1 of 9 from the field. Three turnovers to six assists, was a minus 20, which was the worst on the team. Didn't rebound particularly well. He got a couple good looks. Like, it's not like he wasn't getting to his spots. They weren't falling, and he got frustrated. And you've seen it a lot this season. We'll have these frustration fouls where he misses a shot. Instead of getting back on defense, he just pushes up and gets a cheap foul 90 feet from the basket. It's ridiculous, and it can't be happening for Key in year two. Like, he had a play where he was missing. He got a couple. He missed a couple shots early. Probably got fouled. Didn't get the call. And then LaMelo Ball comes down the floor. goes for a layup because he beats George, and George just shoves him out of bounds, gets a flagrant. Like, that was a frustration foul. And I like the edge, sort of, but it was a dumb frustration foul. And then you add another one later in the game where he missed another shot, and instead of getting back on defense, he just pushed up to get a steal when he wasn't going to get one, and he gets called for a foul 80 feet from the basket. Like, it's stuff like that that he's got to grow up. He's got to mature when it comes to those types of plays. Like, it's not a good shooting night. And for some, most of the season, if he's not shooting well, I still think he affects the game with rebounds and assists, keeps his head. Tonight, he did none of that. And on top of having a bad game, I thought it was probably his worst effort of the season on both ends. And you can't let your bad offensive play affect you negatively on the other end. And I thought he did that tonight, which hurt his team. So I thought he was bad. I mean, him and CJ combining for 6 of 26 from the field, 1 of 6 from three. That's not good. And for the Wizards, they kind of rely on those two guys to create a lot of their offense, especially with Bub going down. And they didn't have it going tonight. Alex Saar with 7 points on 2 of 6 from the field wasn't awesome, but 11 boards, like, that's great. If you don't realize he had 10 in the first half, like, sort of didn't really affect the game on the glass in the second. Had 4 blocks, which was nice. I thought he protected the paint really well. Had an emphatic block on Knipple. So I liked what he did defensively. I thought he cleaned the glass relatively well. But offensively, there were still multiple times, and specifically one time where he had Con Knipple back to the basket at the block and took a fadeaway mid-range jumper. Like, you have a small, you have a guard on you. It's probably the worst defender on their team. And instead of taking him into the paint, he decides to fade. Like, that happened another time too. You can't have that. And then the one time where he got a guard on him, he took him into the paint and he scored over him. Like, that's what you have to do when you're 7-1. And tonight, for the better part, I thought when he had a small on him, he didn't do a good enough job. Sort of reverted back to the old ways of last year, where he gets the matchup he wants, but doesn't exploit it because he's too scared to absorb the contact or play through the contact and get fouled. Like, he's got to do that. They're gonna foul him, or they're gonna allow him to take the layup. Simple as that. And you're fading away, you're bailing them out. That's what they want when they have Con on you. And I thought too many times he wasn't aggressive enough. Like, 6 shots, not good enough. 4 free throws, should be taking more. So you take the good with the bad with Saar. Thought defensively played well, rebounded well. Needs to be a lot more aggressive though offensively, especially when there's a small on him. And you get to Bilal, right? Like, he had some good flashes. Had 11 and 5 in the first half. Thought his activity on the offensive end, specifically on the offensive glass, was great. Had 2 offensive rebounds on 1 possession. Got rewarded with a dunk. Made a couple of threes. He made 3 threes on 9 attempts, which again is really not good. That's 33%, which about 7% better than his average this season. But if you watch the game, 8 of those 7 at least were pretty wide open. Like, the Hornets were daring him to shoot most of the time. The defender didn't even have a hand up. They were like, "This is the best shot. We'll allow you to take it." Like, I would hope if they're pretty wide open, he'll make 3 of 9. So, am I impressed with it? No. I liked his motor and his return. I thought defensively he played well. Had a nice block earlier in the game on a drive. So again, it's not like I'm seeing too much from Bilal that I don't already know. Like, he's not going to make a lot of threes when he's open. He'll make the occasional three, but when he has 9 open ones and he makes three, that's not a good clip. Had a couple of times where he got by his defender, got to the rim, but missed a layup, which is a common theme for Bilal. Again, like, needs to develop the jumper, is a good defender, can occasionally make some high motor plays and get second chance points. It's not like that's anything that we didn't already know. It's, can you shoot the ball consistently? And tonight he really didn't showcase that, and when he made them, they were wide open. So it's not like I'm too impressed by it. Good first half, not a good second half. We'll see if he continues to kind of struggle from deep. Hopefully that's not the case. I actually thought Middleton was pretty solid. Like, 16 points, 5 of 10 from the field, got to his spots. Wasn't too disappointed in him, but, like, overall, the team played well through 3 quarters. Like, they were there. It was 92-90 at the end of the third, and then you kind of just have Charlotte blitz them. It's a 9-2 run to begin the fourth quarter. And I believe, I mean, I can pull up the play-by-play for the fourth, but I know Brian Keefe took a couple timeouts throughout. Like, it's 92-90, and you have Charlotte kind of go on this run, and it's now 101 to 92. The Wizards call a timeout. I'm sure Brian Keefe goes over some adjustments. First play out of the timeout, to Keyshawn George turnover into LaMelo Ball three. Then you have a missed shot from McCollum the next possession, a missed floater. And all of this kind of unfolds with sort of some of the bench in, some of the starters in. And then you get to the next Wizards timeout, and it's 110 to 101. Like, they're pulling it back a little. So you're hoping that maybe they can creep back in. But from that point on, it's a 16-8 run, and Charlotte sort of runs away with the game. So, Brian Keefe did try to adjust, and I thought not only were the adjustments not working and not there when they mattered, I thought that the team didn't execute. So it's twofold. But certainly, I thought the Wizards easily could have won this game. It's, to me, a disappointing loss because they had it. Like, they were there in the fourth quarter. They were competitive. They just couldn't find a way to respond. And it was kind of interesting to see, like, Con Knipple and the Hornets coaching staff, their ability to get their best shooter the ball in good, open, quality shot and get him good looks. That's coaching right there, to be able to get a guy like Con wide open. Everyone on the floor knows he's the best shooter, and the amount of wide open threes this guy had, he was 5 of 9. He's very good. But the Wizards just are attracted to giving up open looks. The Hornets scheme very well to get him open, and it's very rare. Like, you saw the pin down for Trey Johnson. It's like, why don't you do that more often? Why don't you run those plays more often? Because they work. The Hornets did a lot of that. They executed well, and they executed way better than the Wizards. That's on coaching. It's obviously on the players having to be better, but certainly left a lot to be had in this game. Just looking over my notes real quick, to see if I really missed anything. Like I mentioned, I thought Bagley was good. I noted that. I thought Champagne was good off the bench. Talked about Trey Johnson. So obviously, thought the Wizards should have won this game. It's another double digit loss to the Hornets. They've now lost to them by 26 and by 17. That's not good to a team that's 10-20. But that's what this team's gonna do. They're 5-23 for a reason. And so you're probably looking at no Cam Whitmore for a couple months. You're probably looking at maybe more missed time from Kispert with that calf injury that he left the game with. You have Bob Carrington, who unfortunately has that ankle injury and was in a lot of pain, and so he might miss some time. And so right when the Wizards get healthy, they're back to being injured, and that's never ideal. But certainly was a choice, I thought, to take Watkins and Riley out of the rotation when they, I thought, earned those minutes. And instead, you're just kind of going back to, like, well, Bilal's going to start automatically, no matter if he's playing well or not. Obviously, CJ and Chris, and they kept going to CJ and Key down the stretch. Like, at a certain point, you got to just say, hey, look, you guys aren't making shots. You're hurting the team. Let's go somewhere else. And I thought Keith just kind of kept riding those guys, and they weren't producing. That's kind of the story of the game right there. But again, like, if you're going to preach one thing and you're going to be really inconsistent when preaching that, then you shouldn't be preaching it. Like, you're not going to build habits like that. You're not going to build a culture like that. When you stress, the minutes will be earned. They are earned, and then you give them out to other guys on the team. It's tough. It's a rebuild. Like, I think the Wizards are, and because there's new proposals within the NBA, and I guess I'll talk about it now. New proposals within the NBA about how to prevent tanking, sort of going from, like, maybe a team can't get a top four pick 2 years in a row, or trying to, basically amend the rules to make sure teams have no incentive to tank or are penalized for tanking. I don't think many teams in the league are really tanking right now. Like, the Pelicans don't even have their pick. They're trying to win. The Nets have 9 wins already. The Jazz have 10 wins already. I think I saw something today that the Jazz are, like, listing Lauri Markkanen with these ridiculous injuries because they sort of already know, like, we have 10 wins. We can't really win too many other games right now. We're kind of too good, and so they're gonna start tanking. But, like, the Jazz are good. The Hornets now have 10 wins. The Nets have 9 wins. They just won at Philly. The Pelicans have won. They had won 5 in a row before they lost tonight. They're up to 8 wins. Clippers, Sacramento won their 7 wins. Pacers at 6 wins. The Wiz are kind of the lowly team. at 5-23. If you look at, they need to be bottom four right now. They're pretty firmly in that bottom four. No one else has 5 wins. So, it sucks to keep losing. And I thought this was a winnable game for the Wizards against a Hornets team that is not really that good. But they just couldn't adjust. They get blitzed in the fourth quarter. It's kind of the same things that are plaguing this team. And like I said, like it's hard to build those winning habits when you're sort of forced to play certain guys and sort of forced to have similar rotations night in, night out, because you are tanking. It's like it's okay to admit that. The fan base isn't stupid. They know that you guys will do everything in your power to lose games and to make sure you keep your pick in a really good draft class. So I think it's a little disingenuous to sort of push that while also pushing minutes being earned and not given. It's pretty clear that that is impossible to uphold. Like, it's impossible to tank and play certain guys, certain minutes because you're trying to build their trade value, but also because you're not trying to actively win games while also preaching that you're going to do everything in your power to play the guys that are earning those minutes. Like, it's not working because, yes, they would like for both to be, synonymous and for both to be able to happen at the same time. But it's clear that it's not because there's some sort of disconnect. And the team is losing a lot. And they're also not able, seemingly, to uphold the minutes being earned and not given things. So, again, it's another loss for the Wiz. They fall to 5-23 on the season with a 126-109 loss to the Charlotte Hornets. Like I mentioned, they're pretty firmly in the bottom of their standings. And next is a couple of tough games. It really doesn't get much easier for them. They have three at home, which is nice, I guess. But it's against Toronto, who's been playing all right basketball. Then they got Memphis and Phoenix. And those are, I guess, like winnable games per se. But Memphis was up 20 on the Wiz at one point. Phoenix is a good basketball team. So we'll see how the Wizards respond. But not the greatest day for the Wiz. You have Whitmore is going to be out a couple months, which is never ideal. It doesn't matter if he was in the rotation or not. It's a pretty scary injury, so hopefully he's all right. You have Bub, who's playing a basketball, go down with an injury. Corey just got back, and he's back injured with the hamstring. So we'll see how those guys kind of recover. But that's going to wrap it up for this episode of the Wizards podcast. I'll be back to recap that game. It'll be after Christmas, so it's a bit of a layoff here. But the Wizards don't return until the 26th. And so I'll be back the night of the 26th to recap that on Friday. But that's going to do it for this episode. Thanks for listening, as always.